To Lamentations. Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 21 through 26. I have a lot more other scriptures that we'll end up going to. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 21 through 26. Jeremiah says, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning, great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord." Father, we do thank you again for this evening, and thank you, Father, for the songs that we've sung. Father, we just ask that you would speak to our hearts tonight, as you always do. I pray, Lord, that you would just help us to hear from heaven, that you would take away all distractions, the distractions of our thoughts, distractions of noises, anything, Lord, that would distract us, Lord, that we would not hear your voice as you speak to us. Lord, we do want to hear from heaven. Father, we want to see some wondrous things out of your word tonight. Father, we want you to guide us according to your will, because, Lord, that is our desire, Lord, is to seek after you, to be led by you. Father, we ask that you would just bless our time tonight. Lord, reveal some wonderful truths to us through your word, and it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Tonight, I want to talk to us about God's unfailing faithfulness. God's unfailing faithfulness. This morning we talked about really trusting God. And tonight we can really trust God because his faithfulness is unfailing. He never fails. And as you're very familiar with these verses here in Lamentations, again, as Jeremiah is considered the weeping prophet because he would preach to the people of Israel in captivity, yet it seemed like nobody would repent and turn to God. They were constantly against Jeremiah. But Jeremiah writes these words by inspiration of the Lord. And he says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." You already know this, but it's still a wonderful truth to be reminded of, is that we serve a God whose faithfulness is unfailing. God never fails in his faithfulness. Men fail in their faithfulness. Women fail in their faithfulness at times, but we have a God in heaven who never fails in his faithfulness. And we're going to see some areas tonight that God is always faithful in. He's never failed in these areas because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 105, "Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth." We have to remind ourselves of what God has already done in our life and speak of those wonderful things. The psalmist says again in Psalm 77, verse 11, "I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings." What is it that will help us to always remember the faithfulness of God? To think about what he's done and to talk about what he's already done. If we stop thinking about what God has done and stop talking about it, we will start to forget. We'll start to think that God has not been faithful when we don't remember what he has already done. Again, you already know that God is faithful from the beginning to the end. He's been faithful since the beginning of his creation, and he will continue to be faithful all throughout eternity because he cannot be anything else but faithful. It is who he is. Just as he is truth and there's no lie in him, he is faithful. He cannot be anything else but faithful to you and to me. So three things I want us to look at tonight in regards to God's faithfulness is, number one, he's faithful to forget. He is faithful to forget mine and your sins. In Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12, the Bible says, "For I will be merciful to the to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." God is faithful to always forgive us when we come to Him with repentant hearts and we ask for that forgiveness, because He reminds us in 1 John 1:9, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is always faithful to forgive and to forget. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed it from us. And also, He says,
I got an emergency.
Okay.
I got a pan up burning. I left it cooking.
Uh-oh.
And I came here.
Okay.
See you.
Okay. Be careful.
Yeah.
I will. All right, look back at Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12. All right, He says, "For I will be merciful to the unrighteous, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." God is always faithful to forgive us. Again, we have an adversary that's always going to try to bring up our failures, always try to bring up our sin that has already been forgiven, that God has already covered under the blood of Jesus Christ, because God's mercy sustains us. Again, God's faithful in a lot of areas. God's faithful in all areas. But when you think about just His faithfulness to forget what we've done wrong because we've asked for forgiveness, again, then the devil no longer has power to hold that over our heads because God has forgiven us. Because God's mercy sustains us. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." Again, the devil is a liar, and he'll always lie and always try to convince some of God's people that God's not going to forgive them because you've messed up too many times. Again, God remembers our frame as but dust. He knows that we are sinners saved by grace, that we still have the flesh that we have to deal with. Now, we're not in bondage to sin. We no longer can use sin as a cloak, and, well, I just can't help it because... No, God's given us a way of escape, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. But His mercy sustains us, and we have that forgiveness with Him, and He never forgets His forgiveness that He has given. In Psalm 86, verse 15, "But Thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth." Again, we have a God tonight who is merciful, and He is plentifully, or He has plenty of that mercy for you and me. The psalmist said in Psalm 106, "Many times did He deliver them." Think about this, many times, and the psalmist is speaking about the children of Israel. Again, when God brought them out of Egypt with a strong, mighty hand, man, they were excited. It was great. They had Their family, I mean, the generation after generation of being in slavery for over 400 years, now they're finally freed by the mighty hand of God. They saw the works of God as God would pour out the plagues upon the Egyptians but keep the Israelites safe. And then He allowed them to spoil the Egyptians as the Egyptians would just give them gold and silver and possessions just to kind of hurry them out of their city and out of their country so that the plagues would just stop. And they saw the great works of God, but yet, as human nature is, not long into the wilderness, they're complaining. And when you get to the book of Judges, over and over again, they would go after false gods. They would worship the stone gods, the wooden gods, the false gods, and yet when they would cry out in repentance and cry out to God, God would deliver them. That's the grace and mercy of God upon His people, that He never forgets. He never forgets His mercy. His mercy sustains us. His grace is sufficient. Again, in verse 44 of Psalm 106, he goes on to say, "Nevertheless, he regarded their affliction when he heard their cry, and he remembered for them his covenant and repented according to the multitude of his mercies." And we also think, when he says his compassions fail not, the fact that God always supplies his mercy. His mercy will always be supplied for us. When we think about that word fail, his compassions fail not, it means they're not exhausted. They don't come to an end. They fail not. Now, your patience has probably run out with people at different times. There's probably different times, maybe your patience even ran out. If you've ever been a parent, maybe have ran out with your child at different times. You didn't stop loving them. It's just your patience would run out with them at different times. God's patience, God's compassion never fails. He will always supply completely what we need because of his compassions. Philippians 4:19 reminds us, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Shall supply all your need. All right? You think about, not only will he supply completely, but continually he will always supply. Psalm 37 reminds us in verse 25, "I've been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed." That's what David says. David says, "I'm now old, and I've never been forsaken. I've never had to beg for bread." He is stating a truth in his life that God always supplied for him. Was David's life a life of ease? No, he had his problems. But he understands that God always supplied his need. God was always there for him. And God continually and completely supplied what David needed. And most of the time, David needed strength, and that is what God supplies. David needed strength to keep living, to keep moving forward, even when Saul was after him. Even when David committed sin against God, because in Psalm 51, he writes it after committing adultery with Bathsheba, after condemning her husband to death, he says, "Before you and you only have I sinned." He had committed a great sin before God, who had ordained him and put him on a throne. The very one who showed him favor and grace, he recognizes, "I've sinned against you." And yet God gave him the strength to keep going on, the strength to continue to be a good king in the days after that. In Hebrews 4:16, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Again, we serve an amazing God whose compassions fail not. His mercies are new every morning because of his faithfulness. But another area that God is faithful in towards us is to always feed us spiritually with his word. When we read in scripture, we read the account of where God provided manna from heaven for his people as they were in the wilderness. And that little seed, that little grain, whatever you want to describe it as, I mean, it had all the nutrients needed for God's people. And he told them to go out there and get as much as you need for the day. God always supplies our spiritual nutritional need. But there are many Christians who are malnourished spiritually because they refuse to read the Bible. They refuse to devour the Word of God. They refuse to allow the Word of God to dwell richly in them. They know some scripture, but they're malnourished. They don't know what God's will is for them. They're struggling with trusting God. They're struggling with, is God faithful? Because they're not allowing the Word of God to saturate their minds and their hearts. God feeds us. The only way our faith is going to grow is through the Word of God and exercising that faith based on what we see God promise in his word. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 through 3, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word." He's using babies as an example, just as a baby desires milk so they can grow. He says, desire the word of God just like that. Live as though you can't live without it. Crave it as though it's the only thing that will satisfy your spiritual craving. But you know what? The Bible does talk about, and I didn't write these verses down, but as I'm thinking about it, the Bible does talk about if I am full of something else, if I am eating and snacking on something else spiritually, if I am filling myself with the things of this world, I'm not going to have an appetite for the things of God. I'm not going to desire the sincere milk of the word. I'm not going to desire anything of God because, you know, I'm full of everything else. And God wants us to be full of his word. God wants the word to saturate our hearts and minds. He wants us to desire the word because he wants to feed us through the word of God. There are some good books out there written by good Christians, but it's not sufficient to satisfy the spiritual need we have that the word of God can do for us. Only the word of God can satisfy us completely. My pastor used to say in regards to his Bible reading, he said that he would read his Bible in three different parts. The three different parts were, there was meat, potatoes, and dessert, is the way he viewed it. And he needed that. He needed the meat and potatoes, and, you know, it was good to have some dessert. And sometimes he would say, you know, the book of Psalms is like a dessert. It's good for the soul. I mean, it encourages you, but sometimes you need the meat of the word that steps on your toes and convicts your heart. God wants to feed us through his word. He wants us to grow. He's faithful in feeding us. But you know what? Just like you cannot make a horse drink water when you lead them to the brook, God gives us what we need, but he doesn't force it down our throats. He wants us to desire it. He gives us what we need. But again, just as he provided everything that Adam and Eve needed, they desired what God said they could not have. And unfortunately, our flesh often desires and craves the things that God doesn't want us to have. And the more we give ourselves to that, the less of a desire we have for the word of God. Because listen, you know this, but let me remind us, the word of God is not just a book. It's not a paperweight. It's not to collect dust. The word of God is something that's special. Do you realize men and women died for this? As they were hiding it, as they were making copies of it? There are men and women today in other countries that die when they're found with a copy of this. And we in America have so many copies of the word of God, whether it's written form, whether it's on our computers or our cell phones or whatever, iPads and so forth. And God desires to feed us. He's faithful to feed us. There's not a single time you and I will go to the word of God and not get something out of it that we need. God desires for us to desire his word, because his word nourishes us. As I've already said, Jeremiah 15:16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Again, during the days of Jeremiah, because of their rebellion, because of turning their back upon God, God would send them into captivity, where they couldn't go to the temple that they had turned their back on, that they had neglected. They couldn't hear the word of God because they had neglected it. They had turned their back on it. But Jeremiah says, when thy words were found, I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. Again, the word of God feeds us, but it also gives us the joy that we need. Let me just point out some truths here. When a Christian stops tithing, stops church attendance, stops reading their Bible, they will stop believing that God is faithful and that God cares and that God does anything good. Because all of those things we find in the scriptures. We find in the truth of God's word. God's word is to be a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. It's God's desire. If it wasn't important, God would not have inspired it. God would not have, as the Bible tells us, men of old, he would not have moved in the hearts of men to pin down his words for us. He would not have had men put their lives in danger to make copies of it, to translate it into English, to translate it into other languages if it was not important. Again, God's word nourishes us. It furnishes us with the faith and with the encouragement and the joy that we need. 2 Timothy chapter 3 reminds us all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction. Listen, stop arguing with people which Bible is the correct Bible, which translation is the correct translation. I'll just be honest, I'm sick and tired of Christians arguing about, is it the King James, is it the NIV, is it the NLT, is it the ESV? If you seek God with all of your heart, you will find him. And you will find what is the true word of God if you truly seek him with all your heart. Now, God's not the author of confusion. The devil is. That's why there's so many different translations, because the devil doesn't want people to know the truth. He wants people to stay in the dark. But I believe that if you seek God with all of your heart, you'll find the truth. But listen, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. If we don't believe that, then we're not going to be helped. It's profitable for doctrine. Doctrine is what guides our life. Doctrine is important. Again, in Sunday school, as we just started chapter 4 of Revelation, and we just introduction this morning on regards to the rapture. There are so many different viewpoints on the rapture. There are so many arguments on when the rapture happens. Now, listen, if we just read our Bible, it's very clear. But the problem is a lot of church-going Christians don't read their Bible. They read social media more. They watch movies more. They listen to philosophers of the day. They read other books more than they read the Word of God. You know what? As I'm reading in the book of Acts, as I'm going through the New Testament, I'm in the book of Acts, Paul was in Ephesus. And as Paul was in Ephesus, he preached Christ unto them. And there were so many people that were involved in witchcraft and sorcery and all kinds of demonic activity. But the Bible says that so many were believing on the Lord Jesus Christ that there was a day when they brought their curious arts, they brought their sorcery books, the demonic things that they had, that they used to give their life to, they brought it and burned it all. And the Bible says the price of the demonic material that was brought was 50,000 pieces of silver. Now I don't know what that equates to in American dollars, but just think about 50,000 pieces of silver. The fact is the value, the monetary value on that stuff didn't matter anymore to the lives that had been changed by the power of Christ. But we have Christians today getting into the occult. I know of a Christian, heard of a Christian who went to Bible colleges serving in the church. Their favorite book series is Harry Potter. You want to tell me why that is a Christian's favorite book series? One of the most demonic series ever written, but yet there are Christians who love it and promote it. And they think there's nothing wrong with it. Why? Because this book right here doesn't mean squat to them anymore. And you know what? The power of God is gone in their life. Didn't say they lost their salvation. The power of God is gone. Their conscience has been seared. They've become numb. numb to the things of God, numb to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. When was the last time you were convicted by the Holy Spirit of God? When was the last time you even knew what God's will was? And knew without a shadow of a doubt it was God's will. Listen. Don't be fooled. Don't allow yourself to think that the Word of God is powerless and it's not a big deal anymore. If your life isn't being blessed, if you seem to have more problems than blessings, it might be that you've neglected the Word of God and the things of God. It might be that there's a form of godliness, but there's no power. Just saying. His word encourages us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." Listen, they believed what Paul was saying. You know the problem of our day? Because I was talking to somebody recently, and they were talking about just how things were different being a mother and raising kids years ago than it is today. Because it seems like today, mothers don't want to take care of their kids. And I'm not saying mothers in here, just that I've heard, you know, they'd rather their kids, you know, go off. They don't want their kids around. They spend more time on social media and stuff. And they don't get anything done. And as I was talking to this person, and years ago, we're not talking about our grandparents' day. Do you realize that smartphones are relatively new? In the year 2000, there was no smartphone. In fact, my phone, I thought was pretty smart just because I could read the numbers that were on it. Well, that's, you know, because the first phone I have, I had to flip it, had to pull the antenna out. I couldn't read the numbers, you know, that you would punch in. But because the technology has advanced so much, Christians are spending more time on social media and on their smartphones instead of in the Word of God, instead of training their children, instead of doing what God created them to do. Yeah, technology can be a good thing, but it can also be a bad thing. What I'm saying is that the Word of God is sufficient for our spiritual growth. God's given it to us. He's faithful to use it in our lives. Thus David said in Psalm 119, verse 93, "I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me," or made me alive. Again, the downfall of technology is it's always calling us. It's always calling us. Whether it's the TV, the computer, the phone, it's always calling us to spend more time with it than with the Word of God. And we could say, well, I've got the Bible on my phone. I'll read the Bible. I know what that's like. I've got the Bible on my phone. I read it, but guess what? I have a thought and I have to go and I have to look at something else. Or look up something else. I mean, it's, you know, again, it can be a good thing that I can have my Bible anywhere I go. I can play it and listen to it. But again, it can be a downfall. I believe if we had more of a desire for the Word of God, then the things like this wouldn't be such a chain in our life where we're so gripped by it. Again, when you think about the Lord and His faithfulness, man, He's faithful to us. You know why many Christians struggle with really trusting God? Because they're not spending adequate time in the Word of God. You know why some Christians are missing out on the blessings of God? Because they're not spending time with God. They're not allowing the Word of God to change them, to increase their faith, and to help them to be more like Christ. Last thing I want you to think about real quick is just that God is faithful to forgive. Just as He would forgive His people over and over again as they would cry out to Him in repentance, God is faithful to forgive us when we repent and we turn back to Him and we ask Him, Lord, help me to have a stronger desire for the things of God and less of the things of this world. David said in Psalm 103, or the psalmist, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath He, God, removed our transgressions from us. God's faithful to forgive and to forget, to remove our transgressions from us when we ask for His forgiveness. In Psalm 32, David said, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Again, you and I know that God is faithful to forgive. Again, the devil wants somebody to think that, well, God's forgiven you too many times in this area. Again, God is faithful. He's just, He's faithful to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you already know that we are forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Again, just when you think about the forgiveness of God tonight, and I'll stop there because we're past time, but when you think about God's unfailing faithfulness in your life, it really should cause us to desire God more. Not to take advantage of His faithfulness. You know what it's like to be taken advantage of by people who just take advantage of your goodness. And you know how that kind of makes you feel. And yet no one has done what God has done for us. Robing Himself in human flesh. Living that perfect sinless life. Dying on the cross. He could have chose any other way to die, but He chose to come during the time that the crucifixion was the Romans' number one choice for executing people. And the fact that He allowed Himself to be scourged and beaten beyond recognition. Why? Because of His love. Because He wants us to share in His grace and experience His love and His faithfulness, but He does call us to be faithful to Him. He does call us to be faithful to Him. And faithful to His words, faithful in following Him, faithful in allowing Him to guide our life, to be the Lord of our life. To be the Lord of our life means He is in charge. And that is a struggle for many because we have that human nature that, well, I want to do what I want to do. I want to do what makes me feel good, and I'm going to do what I think is right. Again, when we have those feelings and those thoughts, it's contrary to the Lord. It's contrary to what God desires for you and for me. So let's never forget about God's unfailing faith, His unfailing faithfulness in our life, but let us work on being faithful to Him, faithful in trusting Him, faithful in following Him, faithful in letting Him do what He wants to do in our life, because there are so many things that we may be missing out on because we're not letting Him do what He wants to do. Let's let God have the glory in the life that He has redeemed and the life that He wants to change. Let's put aside the earthly things that seem to take precedence, and let's allow the spiritual things of God to take precedence in our life.